Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's great to be with you once again today. We have a great broadcast ahead of us. But what makes it great? There's one thing that we are in pursuit of right now, and I want you to know this. This is the heartbeat that we carry. We are pursuing the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God to know that truth. There are so many things going on in our world today, and we have been saying for a very long time that we have chosen to look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times and then bring interpretation to what we see. This can only be accomplished by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with our particular prowess or ability or ingenuity or reason or common sense or logic or anything like it. It is all the Holy Spirit. It is all to Jesus. It is from Jesus, through Jesus. We desire to know his heartbeat right now because we know that we live in a world that is filled with deception. Even the very elect can be deceived. So what we do is we sit back and we pray. And we ask for guidance. We ask for the Holy Spirit. What is it that is going on? Take back the veil. That has been my prayer for a long time right now. Remove the veil from our eyes. Let us see behind the scenes. Let us understand. Let me know what is taking place so that I, who am responsible for everything that I say, everything that I share. God forbid that our broadcast is some dramatic theme or anything other than a impartation of the truth as we understand it. And I know we're all growing in our understanding and the enlightenment and the comprehension that is necessary to bring forth the Word of God is a very, very powerful task. And again, only the Holy Spirit could do it. But that is why we're here. We're not here to, somehow embellish. We're not here to, bring anything but the truth. And I hope you'll join me with that and your heart will resonate with me in that. It's never been anything but that for Patricia and I. And sometimes the Word of God, the Spirit of God, We get it. It bears witness with our spirit. But what I praise God for are the many confirmations that come along the way. And today is going to be a day like that. So we're going to talk much about where we are on this second day of April, 2020. April 1st has passed. It was not April's Fool. This wasn't a make-believe thing that's going on with the nation possibly shutting down. Other states obviously have shut down and the call to shut down. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. I don't like the idea. I love the idea that I live in the state of Arkansas and that the governor of Arkansas has exempted churches from having to be separated. He is given the right, if we so desire, to gather together, even if there's 3,000 of us. We have the right to gather together in the state of Arkansas. And I'm not sure where that's all going to go. We heard very strong language from the president of the United States yesterday, where he said, you know, we're really looking at this, shutting down, completely shutting down the nation. Well, I want to interpret. I want to get behind the scenes. I want to move forward in what we understand these times to be. So I want to begin in just a quick story that we have shared before, and it's in 2 Kings chapter 6. So let me just begin and launch out from there today, because I love this. Because again, what we are desiring, what I am desiring, what I want to happen in our ministry is to understand what God's will is in everything. So I just want to read to you a quick little story out of 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. And it says this: Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man, okay, so that was the king of Syria saying, here's what we're going to do. It's his plan laid out. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent by the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. In other words, many times the king of Syria wanted to set a snare or a trap or had battle plans to take the king of Israel down. But the man of God, Elisha, was hearing the plans of the Syrian king. And so we read in verse 11, Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called the servants and said unto them, Will you not show me which of you or which of us is for the king of Israel? My light went out here. Hold on a second. Yeah, that's my solar light. I got to get a little bit better lighting here. So which of you, he's asking his servants, which of you are for the king of Israel? Why do you keep undermining my plans? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchambers. So this is a really cool story about the prophet Elisha, able to transport himself by the Spirit into the very bedchamber of the king of Syria to get a download of what his plans are. And every time the king of Syria plotted and planned against Israel, Elisha's spirit was picking up the information and taking it back to the king of Israel. And it saved the king of Israel's life several times. So my desire for you and I is to get behind the scenes. What are the plans of the enemy? What is going on behind the thick veil of darkness, the thick curtain, that heavy curtain? And I was thinking about the veil of the temple, the day that Yeshua, Jesus Christ, died on the cross. It says that the veil was rent from top to bottom. You know, I've been told that that veil was the heaviest curtain, that it took many men to carry that. It was so heavy. It was a thick covering. Nobody knew what was going on behind the scenes in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. But the day that Yeshua died, that temple was rent. And it was given opportunity for all of us who believe today in Jesus Christ to get behind the scenes and go into the Holy of Holies, right? We know that. So there are thick veils and coverings through secret societies and all these things. And we just want to get behind it, don't you? I mean, wouldn't you just like to know exactly what's really going on right now? And so that is our pursuit today. We're going to pursue this. And I want to begin once again with a conversation that I had with Daniel Seckham yesterday on this radio broadcast early in the morning. Daniel and I were talking and I kind of blurted out a question. I said, Daniel, why have the Muslims, why have the people that belong to the Nation of Islam been so quiet lately? There was a time there was nothing but news and talk about the Islamic terrorists. There was talk every day about the Nation of Islam and their desire to dominate the world. And Daniel, why is it so quiet? And Daniel gave somewhat of an answer. And his answer was, well, they're just waiting. They're setting back. They're letting the left, the progressives, do the heavy work. They are salivating. And I brought the idea that was out of the Arab world that the game of chess was created and how they wait for their precise moment. They're very patient in making a move. They're not quick to make a move. They wait. And we've had that feeling that they're just waiting and waiting. And a few days ago, I, again, from the biblical perspective, warned that this idea of separating people in our nation, there may be some intel in the government that this is the domestic terrorism that's coming or the Islamic terrorism that's coming, and it won't be such a strike if the people are separated, if they're not in ball games, if they're not in major cities. It would cut down on the impact of Islamic terrorists that they may be aware of. And so we were talking about these things, and then yesterday after our broadcast, the president of the United States made it very clear in a briefing that he believes that Iran is about to attack us. Period. My brother in the Lord, my friend from Indiana, early this morning, I was up in the Word and I was studying the Word and I was seeking the Lord again. Lord, what's behind the veil? How do I tear back that veil? How do we get there? You know, not just to say, aha, I found something, look at me. No, but what? How can we present something to our listeners today? And this text came to me, and here's what it said. Now, remember, Don has been in the military, Vietnam. He's connected with military sources all over this country. It's very real. It's very true. He's not some, you know, phantom operative or anything like that. He's been involved. He was a police officer. He was in SWAT. He was involved in a lot of military things, and we've had a friendship for a long time. And here's what he said today. I was just briefed by my security director. You know, he works as security in a hospital right now in Indiana. So I was briefed by my security director that he just received a document from the security director of three hospitals in Indianapolis, Indiana. So Don has a security director over the hospital he works at, and his director just received a document of a director over three hospitals. And this director, the one that's over three hospitals in Indiana, stated that Homeland Security briefed him to attempt to harden his hospitals ASAP as much as possible. In other words, strengthen, get your security tightened up, right? So Homeland Security briefed this director over three hospitals, which briefed the security director over the hospital that Don works at in security, to harden themselves ASAP as much as possible because His hospitals are considered soft targets for imminent sleeper cell attacks. Sleepers. I have no problem believing in that. We have been talking about this for many, many years. And so, again, we see in a very quick fashion the idea that all this quiet, what a time for a great strike. So let me stop for just a moment and back off and readdress myself. And you will forgive me, I hope, one more time. I was asking about Isaiah 47:11. As you know, it was the day before, and I need you to focus with me. I'm not just saying this for you to raise your eyebrows and say, oh, here he goes again. No, I need you to hear me. I need you to just walk with me through this. The day before the United States of America became privy to the coronavirus having any impact in our nation, I spoke Isaiah 47:11 on this broadcast and on KERM radio, and you know what it says. I know it so well, I could speak it verbatim. And basically what Isaiah 47:11 says, an evil shall come as a destruction, and you will not know. Let me just read it to you absolutely one more time. Just one more time, and maybe we'll never say it again, okay? But here is the Isaiah 47, because I told you we're doing this from the perspective of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 47, verse 11, therefore shall evil come upon you, you shall not know from whence it rises, and mischief shall fall upon you. Mischief. So evil is coming. You don't know where it's coming from. Mischief shall fall upon you. You shall not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Desolation shall come suddenly. You will not know. Mischief is coming on you. Evil is coming to you. You will not be able to put it off. Now, that is very powerful in light of what is going on in our nation today, especially when you hear the president over and over and over again saying, this thing came out of nowhere. And the president was saying, well, by April 15th, we're going to be back online. We got to get the jobs going. We need the economy to start ramping up again. He was trying to put it off. He wasn't able to put it off. Do you hear it? Do you see it? Do you understand it? So what does it mean? Evil is coming. Mischief is coming. You won't be able to put it off. It's coming as a destruction suddenly. There's a suddenly within the context of what we're hearing right now. There's a suddenly. And yet, because God doesn't do anything without first revealing it to his prophets, we're told, we're beginning to hear that the month of April, we were hearing the month of April a year ago in our ministry because my wife, Patricia Joy, had a word of knowledge from the Lord that watch out for April of 2020. And 40 days ago, it was about February 20th. It was a Thursday, I believe it was. 40 days ago, and I know the number, and I'll tell you why. We were leaving Florida on our way back. We were in a hotel room, and I picked up a Gideon Bible, and I was in the prophetic flow, if you know what I mean. I was in something, and I was knowing it was time to pick up the Word of God. I picked it up. It landed in a Gideon Bible in the book of Jonah, where Jonah was saying, 40 days, Nineveh. Boy, and I've heard that before, and people have picked up on it. I myself have heard that before. I was in Los Angeles, California on television, on a Latino television station, saying 40 days. And that was right after the 9/11 events that were going on. And it wasn't, it's going to happen. It was a story of what Jonah was saying, 40 days. And I was driving and I thought, gee, I wonder what 40 days from that day was. And obviously I looked at it and I asked Siri on my phone, what is 40 days from today? And it turned out to be April 1st. And I said, wow. And we're driving home. That was a Thursday. And I knew I would be home Saturday and I would release the word on Saturday, 40 days, which brought me to April 3rd. And so between April 3rd and 5th, we've been saying that there's an event coming upon the nation. It was so real and it was so quickened. And now we're on April 2nd. April 3rd will be tomorrow, Friday, and the 4th and the 5th will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, a weekend here. And again, I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm showing you how we track in the spirit. The same way we tracked the day before coronavirus came, God gave Isaiah 47:11. And it's being fulfilled before our eyes. The only thing that has not happened in the Isaiah 47:11 scripture is the sudden destruction, okay, that it says. Everything else came from where you do not know, won't be able to put it off, is being voiced by the President of the United States of America. So the next part of this, Isaiah 47:11, is this destruction. So I've been asking the Lord, it came into my mind a few days ago, what was the mischief, Lord, in the days of Isaiah when he was prophesying? What was the evil that was coming? What was the mischief that was going to come out of nowhere and that the Babylonians were not going to be able to put off? Because it was a mischief against Babylon. It was an evil against Babylon. And you heard Benjamin Baruch, another relationship that has been rekindled last Friday, talking about America, Babylon. If you haven't heard it, you need to go back to the archives. You need to study. It was phenomenal. It was precise. It was accurate. It was confirmative in every way. And so I was asking, Lord, what is it? What was the evil and mischief that you were bringing? And so I went and began to study some cross-reference today. And here's where our study is going to pick up, okay? Here's where we're going to begin. I want to go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51. Jeremiah, chapter 51. And I'm going to begin, and I've got my Bible is marked up on this, which is really good. And I've got a lot of yellow scriptures that I want to get to here that I was marking out today. And I don't know how to say this to you, but have you ever been in the flow of scripture? You're reading the scripture, the Holy Spirit is with you, anointing the word of God, giving life to it. And you're getting it, and it's such a download that your inner man is feeding on this, and you're going, oh my God. And it's like a very clear picture. It's like the veil has been removed, and you're now looking at it, and you're going, there it is. No, it's like the understanding has opened. Well, that's what's going on here today. And I pray to God by the Holy Spirit that the Lord has intended this Bible study to impart revelation, truth, knowledge to your spirit and your mind. And only the Holy Spirit can do it. Only the Holy Spirit could bring this to you. And only the Holy Spirit can have you in a receiving mode to be able to understand what's about to be said, because it's a now word, it's an alive word, it's plugging in the electrical outlet into the wall and the light's coming on. This is that moment, and if we understand it, we're going to be able to go some places. So I'm going to begin in Jeremiah 51:8, which was a cross-reference to Isaiah 47:11. Here's what it says. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Wow. That's exactly what Isaiah 47:11 said. The only thing you have to understand that we have to understand and agree with and come to understand that the United States of America has become Babylonian. Every description of Babylon you're going to see is being fulfilled in the United States of America. That is not to say that there aren't godly people here. All right, we're not suggesting that there aren't godly people. There's an ecclesia, a remnant. But much of the church in America is Babylon as well. We'll see that in just a little bit. But again, consider there is a remnant of godly people whose king is the Lord, okay? Whose king is the Lord. So Jeremiah 51:8, Babylon is fallen, suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain, if so be, she may be healed. Now, the word suddenly is the pithom, and that word means surprise. It's a moment. Listen to this definition in the Hebrew. It is a moment with the termination, not determination, with the termination. In other words, your time has expired. It is now terminated. The covenant is terminated. The contract is over. So it is a moment with termination. It means suddenly, in a moment. We were preaching 11 years ago, or actually going all the way back in time, that there will be a great strike against the heart of this nation. Everything will change in a moment, okay? So we have, it is a suddenly, it is in a moment. It means sudden terror. That's the idea. Instantly. Again, this is the pithom. Instantly, suddenly, surprisingly, a moment with the termination, the termination. Suddenly, Babylon is destroyed. She's fallen and destroyed. Now, I want to keep on reading out of Jeremiah 51. And I want to just get to some marked places here that I've marked out in the scriptures. And I want to flow all the way down to verse 11. Verse 11. Jeremiah 51, 11. Make bright the arrows. Gather the shields. The Lord has raised up. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. For his device is against Babylon, to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. So my friend Art yesterday contacted me, and he said, Vince, there's one of two possibilities right now. Number one, the enemy has brought this coronavirus upon our nation and this separation and this panic and fear. This is from the devil. And if it's from the devil, we could stand up and we can rebuke it and we could cast it away. He said, on the other hand, if it's from the Lord, there's nothing we could do about it if it's from the Lord. We're reading in Jeremiah 51:11, make bright the arrows, gather the shields, the Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. Now, who were the Medes? Well, you go back to the Medo-Persian Empire. This is Iran. This is Persia. The kings of the Medes are the Islamic world today. It is, again, Iran, I believe, which is very interesting because Iran would not accept any help from the United States yesterday. The president said that Iran was ready for a sneak attack, a surprise attack against our country. Again, very interesting, but who's it from? It's from the Lord. When Assyria was about to attack Israel, it was God who raised up Assyria. So it wasn't Assyria, it was the Lord. And that's why what we have to understand, I believe, what is going on in our country right now, I was talking to another brother this morning as well, I do not believe that this moment is given to the good guys in our country arresting the bad guys. That may happen, but that's not what this moment is about. I think we need to clear our minds and focus the best we can. Clear our minds and focus. This is not about arresting all the bad guys so that our job market could come back and our economy could start swinging again, and there's going to be a great swing back of jobs and economy. That is very surface thinking, in my understanding. Behind that, you have to understand that there's a righteous God in heaven who is about to hold accountable this nation that has blasphemed him. You have to understand that God has been crying out to our nation for a very long time, warning it not to go in the direction that we went in. You have to get behind the scenes and see what we're reading in verse 11. For his device, God's device, is against Babylon, America, to destroy it. Why? Because it is the vengeance of the Lord. What is the vengeance of the Lord? 90 million abortions in our country. 90 million babies that could have had life, that were forming in the womb of a woman, that had blood, cell, and tissues, were murdered. And we know that life is in the blood. And we know from God's perspective, before you were formed, I ordained you a prophet. I knew you, God said to the prophet Jeremiah. Before you were formed, you were a fetus. You were blood, cell, and tissues. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. That is life, because life is in the blood. So the Antichrist, blasphemous Babylonian rulers of our generation slaughtered 90 million babies that had life. And then before they came forth out of the womb, God said of Jeremiah, I ordained you a prophet. In other words, these little babies had purpose, but the devil slaughtered them. You have to understand, that's 90 million abortions. The blood of those babies are on the hands of our government and society. And along with that, we also know, going back to the 1960s, we got into the psychedelic drug epidemic. We got into free sex. We got into all of that stuff that was going on at Woodstock. We saw this rebellion against God rise like crazy. And this was all a calculated warfare. It was a psyop upon the mind of America to degrade and to degenerate and to corrupt and to defile and to deprave our society, because this is how the enemy said he was going to take us down. So the introduction of pornography, free sex, a government that said, we don't want the Bible in our schools anymore. We don't want prayer anymore. A government that began to go to war with God. And then out of the 60s, the infamous Vietnam War. And then in 1972 and 73, the legalization of the shedding of innocent blood. It just kept getting more satanic and more satanic. This is a reality. This is not make-believe. Now, beyond that, you know the rest of the story. More evil, wave upon wave, wave upon wave. Drugs were introduced in the United States en masse. Cocaine, crystal meth, everything you can imagine. The opioid epidemic that's going on in our country today. The drugs, by their sorceries, their pharmakia, were all nations deceived. The deception came in. The left kept growing. The socialists, the communists, the Islamic people involved, and the satanic priesthood in our government assassinated John F. Kennedy. You know all this, but it kept escalating and escalating until today. Let's just fast forward it. Why is it the day of vengeance? Well, with all the insanity going on, the church message, the kingdom message, the gospel message was polluted. It was perverted. It was watered down. It had no sanctifying power. There was no outcry against the evil. And so it was all about prosperity and money, and the church became Babylonian in its nature. There was no longer the voice of Yahweh shouting from the housetops. The church went silent. And it was buried, and it was transformed, not to the image of Christ, but to a Babylonian religious system. And then we saw not only pornography running rampant within our society, doing brain damage. Scientifically, pornography deteriorates the brain. And so the people became stupid upon their idol of sensuality and idolatry and pornography. And they were worshiping at the halls and the worship temples of pornography. And sex went rampant, so kill the babies. And blood was shed upon the satanic altars. Now we live in a country where we've legalized homosexuality. Men with men doing that which is unseemly. Women with women doing that which is unseemly. And we've seen it not only accepted, but ordained to be married, the holy institution of God, overthrowing and overwhelming the marital status of what God had originally intended to bring forth godly seed. So now we brought forth bastards, and now we brought forth people that were now broken homes, no fathers, the bailing out. The nation has succumbed, and we turned our kids to the governmental schools, and on it goes. The blasphemy in our country is what you have to see from God's perspective. You've got to stop seeing America as the good guys, or else you're going to think the good guys are going to arrest the bad guys. No, it's so far beyond that. This is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and his device, watch what the word device means. Let's go back. Isaiah 51:11. He says, for his device, God's device, is against Babylon, America. The word device is the mezima. The mezima. And the mezima is a plan, the machination, the sagacity, the witty invention. Wow. The device of the Lord, the plan of God. That's why you have to get behind the scenes, get men out of the way. God has seen us terminate the contract, the original contract of America, the true founding fathers making covenant with the Lord God Almighty in the 1600s. It's terminated. It's over. So God has a device against Babylon to destroy it because it is the vengeance. Now, the word vengeance is the nekama. The nekama, and that word vengeance simply means to avenge with passion. To avenge with passion. Wow. God's coming with passion. And then he says it's the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Now, I want to go down just a little bit further to some other verses, and it says in verse 12, set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has both devised and done that which he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. The word ambushes there, prepare the ambushes. You know what the word is? It's Arab. Arab, A-R-A-B, Arab or Arab. It's the Arab, and it means to lie in wait. You know what the nation of Islam is doing. It's been lying in wait. It's been searching out the prey. It's the lion in the thicket waiting to pounce. So the ambush is to also, it means to weave and intertwine. In other words, create a net around the people, a basket, a hedge. So the enemy has been hedging in the inhabitants of Babylon. Jesus said it would come like a snare upon the whole earth and they will not escape. God is forewarning us for a reason. He's forewarning you and I for a reason. Understand what's going on in the Father's heart right now. So this is the Arab. I got David Eales told me that years ago. He said, when I was telling him in Isaiah 24, I shared with him that God would smite the earth with a curse. And the word curse was Allah in the Hebrew, Allah. And he said, well, in Jeremiah, it's Arab for ambushes. And we were interconnecting thoughts that God was revealing to us. In Genesis 6, I was seeing that the world was filled with violence. And the word violence was Hamas. And here we have a Hamas. And here we have the Allah. And here we have the Arab. And there's like a mystery in the word of God to these things. Now, he goes on in verse 12. I'm in Jeremiah 51:12, and he says, the Lord has both devised and done that which he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. Verse 13. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, your end is come. And the measure of your covetousness. I'm just going to keep on reading a little bit. Let me get down. I want to get down over here to, let me just get to my notes so I don't miss it up here. Verse 27. I want to go all the way down to verse 27. Jeremiah 51, 27. Set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her. Cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. That is a perfect scripture for an Islamic caliphate, is it not? But it's also the leadership of the United Nations coming against the walls of Babylon. It says in verse 28, well, let me get back over here. 28, prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. We've heard this for so long a time. The question is, is this the time of the fulfillment of this passage, of this understanding? Can we see that what's happening in our country and around the world, by the way, God has a controversy with the nations. That's going to be settled as well. But there's a contract we made, like Israel had made with God. We have made a contract. It's terminated. Our time that was given to repent has come and gone. And we have hardened our heart against the Lord in this country. It is true. What we are looking at is not, again, the surface. Behind the scenes, you are seeing this is the Lord's vengeance. He's coming to destroy it. He's going to destroy this land. And we're watching it right now. We're seeing it. I want to continue on just a little bit further. In verse 29, the land shall tremble in sorrow. I read that already. For every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. Skip on down with me to verse 33. Verse 33, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon. If we're not a daughter of Babylon, then what is, right? The daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. Listen carefully to these words now. It is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Benjamin Baruch wrote about the bitter harvest of Babylon. The bitter harvest of Babylon. Here's the word. Her time is come. It is time to thresh her. What does the word thresh mean? The word thresh in the Hebrew is the darak, and it means to tread, to walk. It gets into the archer, bending the bow. But the meaning is to trample. To tread and to trample Babylon. So the idea and the imagery we get is God is sending a mighty force against the United States of America. Now, again, it says, getting back to where I was at, verse 30 here, 33. Let me just get to my notes one more time. Let's go all the way to verse 42. Jeremiah 51, 42. The sea, listen to this. The sea is come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves. We have been talking for weeks now about Ezekiel 14, the four sore judgments of God. My brother in the Lord, who has a prophetic mantle, Michael, saw in a vision, because he came from Southern California, he was a surfer, that the way that the surfers would look for the best wave, they would always come in sets, the waves, and it was always the fourth wave that would bring the big kahuna. He prophesied on this program the other day, it would be wave after wave after wave after wave. There would be no rest. And here it is in the Word of God, verse 42, Jeremiah 51, the sea is come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. What is the waves? The word waves here is the gall. The gall. It means a heap of stones. And it's referring to, I will make Jerusalem into ruins. Literally talking about waves. The waves of judgment that are pouring over the land today. Now, in verse 43, her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwells, neither does any son of man pass thereby. Now I want to skip on down to, well, let's stay the course. I'll just go to verse 46. Verse 46. Unless your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land, a rumor shall both come one year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. In our land, we have the left against the right. We have Trump against Pelosi and Schumer, so to speak. It's ruler against ruler in the land. A house divided cannot stand. Rumors have been going on for years. Verse 47, therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon. Are we not witnessing judgment upon the graven images of Babylon today? With everything that our nation loves, who are mad upon our idols, have been shut down? That's a kind of judgment, isn't it? And her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Are not the slain falling in the land? The whole land shall be confounded. That word confounded is bush. And what it means is to pale, to be ashamed, to be disappointed, delayed, to become dry, to be astonished. All these definitions are right there in the word. Let's go to verse 48. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoilers shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. It talks about the escape. I want to go just a little bit further. Let's get down to verse 54, I think that is. 54. A sound of a cry comes from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. You have to read again Benjamin's article, 70 weeks, 70 years, talks about Babylon and the Chaldeans. A sound of a cry comes from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord has spoiled Babylon and destroyed her, or and destroyed out of her the great voice. When her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voice is uttered. Because the spoiler is come up upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, and every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. You see, the wise men of Babylon, Isaiah 47, 11, 12, 13, 14, tells us that their witchcraft, their occultism, their ability to navigate by the stars, their astrologers and sorcerers and prognosticators will not be able to manage the crisis that is coming because it's from the Lord. Do you see it? It's from the Lord. You can't fix it. So what are the righteous to do? What are the righteous to do? Well, in the remaining verses, we're told that in verse 58, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. It's a labor in vain to think we're going to get the bad guys because we're the good guys. You're not understanding. The whole tree of the knowledge of good and evil is going to be judged. And only the people who have access to the tree of life are going to get through this moment. Well, there are scriptures that tell us that the people are to flee out of the midst of Babylon. What does it all mean? Did I make myself clear? Did I bring this across properly? I want to give you an opportunity to share your thoughts. The telephone number to call right now is 818-369-0326. What are we saying? What are we hearing? It's here. We're in it. There's no going back. God is going to destroy, through whatever mechanism he chooses, this rebellious, blasphemous nation. And the good people in it are going to be humbled way low because there is no goodness. All man's goodness is as a filthy rag before God. The only righteousness is Jesus Christ. And those who flee to him for salvation and receive of his grace and his mercy will ever know what true righteousness is. And when you see true righteousness compared to our good, there's no comparison. Filthy rags. And yet people promote our goodness. No, not that way. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you right into the broadcast. We have a number of people looking with us right now. I want to say hello to Amanda Bach from Canada. She is doing great. She's growing flowers. Praise God. She's walking in the grace of God. She's walking in the love of Jesus. She's a separated one unto the Lord. This is not her reality. What God's about to do to Babylon is not her reality. Okay? And we want to welcome John King. God bless you, John King. And Inder Shokin from the Middle East somewhere. Welcome. I see Michelle. God bless you, Michelle. And Sonia, God bless you. This is a good comment. David, New York City is Rome and USA is Babylon. No doubt about it, Dave. I think it's the truth. And good morning to Sharon. Good morning to everybody else that's joining us on Facebook. If you have any comments, make sure you put them out there. But I'm waiting for the calls are starting to come in right now. And I'm going to take them as they come. So let me get my headdress ready to go here. And let me take my first call coming in from area code 208. Good morning, area code 208. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Morning. Your teaching is pretty well on cue there. What I believe we need to do is stand in a gap and pray against that this weekend coming that the Lord has cautioned you on and told you about.
Let me ask you a question about that thought. And I have such admiration and respect for you. There's no doubt in my mind. I think you're an extraordinary person in the kingdom of God. But I guess what I'm wrestling with is, how do God's people stand up and pray against what God is sending in the form of judgment? Could you please answer that for me?
Well, that's a good question. All right. We just need to take him at his word. But Ezekiel 22:30, you got to remember, he sought for only one man. Couldn't even find one. So that's why I include that in a lot of the prayers I do. A lot I pray that the Lord would strip the blinders off the eyes, ears, heart, and the understanding. And you call that lift a veil, which is the same thing. Just a little different terminology. But our country's run by a bunch of pedophiles, mass murderers, homosexuals, traitors, communists. The Lord gave us Trump for a reprieve, 3.5 years. And look at the opposition that's come against him. So if the Lord totally blotted us out, I could see why. Now, Bill Gates, he was raised Christian, but he is an atheist. He's given $28 billion for charity. His wife committed $375 million for Planned Parenthood, population control. And we got the right and the left. Well, the left is totally sold out to Satan. So, trying to answer your question. That's a good question.
Well, you just made an excellent point. Art, you had shared with me in a text message this morning that you really believe that the agenda of the left, or the population control, these Bill Gates and all these other people, is population control to reduce this whole thing is a population control event. Do you still believe that's true?
Oh, yes. All you got to do is look at the Georgia Guidestones. 500 million people. They only got to get rid of 6.5 million of us.
Billion.
But Gates yeah. Warren Buffett and them guys was behind this virus thing. That wasn't the Lord doing it. He cautioned that this purge was coming against us. Purge, scourge, whatever you want to term it. And that's why we got to pray against it. We can rebuke it. When we do like Pelosi fights what God was giving us all this time, sure the Lord's going to bring his judgment on us. But a lot of it, he's letting us do ourselves because yeah. we have allowed these people in our government to run it. We had a constitution that lead guidelines for every law. They just ignore that. They voted themselves and raised his pension. Go ahead.
Yeah, I apologize because our time is just growing short here. I've got a number of calls I want to get in here. Your thoughts are – we may go – stay on the line. I may just – keep this going for another 30 minutes, but let me take another call just in case we're going to get going here from area code 479-238, and then we'll get right back to you if we have opportunity. Good morning, area code 479-238. You're on the air.
Yeah, Pastor. Earlier, you brought up the hospitals as a soft target, and
yes.
that is so apropos to think about. When people get sick or they don't feel well or they're injured, where do they go? To the hospitals. Well, if you do damage to a hospital, then are your doctors and nurses going to go there? In other words, where do your people go when they need medical attention? If your doctors and your nurses aren't going to go because they don't feel safe, then where are you going to go? So you create a division of chaos and strife and everything else amongst the people on what to do. That's a great example. That right there is something that could really amount to a lot. But anyway, I'll let you go and listen. Be blessed.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And yeah, that thought came from Brother Don in Indiana. He got the download from the directors of security this morning. I would like to answer quickly. I'm going to stay on just a little bit longer. Our friend Sonia is on the line. She says, I welcome a study on who is Babylon, Pastor. My current understanding is Rome is Babylon. The U.S. is the daughter of Babylon. I've also heard that Babylon is Syria. question mark. Please consider this. Thank you. So let me give you my take about Babylon very briefly. It goes all the way back, as you know, to Genesis chapter 10 and 11. There was a man of sin. His name was Nimrod. He wanted to build a tower into heaven and build a city and make a name for himself to unite the world, and that he would be the leader of that free world. That fell apart because God saw it. And then the very first thing we see coming up out of that, remember, this is the Luciferian heart. Another sign of Babylon comes up in the Egyptian Empire. After that, the Assyrian Empire. After that, the Babylonian Empire. And what do you have? You have great nations building towers. You have a pharaoh or a king over the nations, and they're one world governments. And this is all outworking from the heart of Lucifer. But each one of them fail. Egypt fails, Assyria fails, Babylon fails. Then comes the Medo-Persian Empire. Then comes the Grecian Empire. Then the Roman Empire with its Caesars. But in the very end of time, the time we're living in, Babylon, under the absolute authority and control of Lucifer himself in full embodiment, according to 2 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation 12, Lucifer will embody and have power over the global government, military, economy. There isn't just, in my opinion, it's not just Rome over there. The headquarters of Babylon today is in the United Nations in New York City, and Babylon is a system. It is a governmental and religious system, a political system, a monetary system, an economic system. Babylon is all over the world under the control of Lucifer when he comes to make landfall that will begin a tribulation for 3.5 years. So while nations and say, so why do we say America is Babylon? Well, it's definitely a daughter of Babylon because the mother who is in Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Mystery Babylon, the mother, goes all the way back to Nimrod and the whole story over there. So with that being said, she has many daughters, many offspring. And so you have a global Babylonian system. And that's why Jesus said in the last days, it will come like a snare upon the whole earth. But who is Babylon today? Who's in control of things? I look to the United Nations. I believe the United Nations is what was happening in Genesis 10 and 11, where unite the world, bring it together, and its headquarters is in New York. So having said that, let me get back to my brother Art, since I've been here a little bit longer, and I don't want to cut him off at all. So Art, are you still with us today? Uh-oh. Hold on one second here. It's kind of a buffering thing. So I think we may have lost our ability on the phone. Maybe somebody else could call in. So I want to leave. Tomorrow is April 3rd, and I'm not going to call it a prediction. I'm not going to call it a prophecy. I'm just going to say that it was very awkward 40 days ago in the prophetic flow of things that this, watch out for April 3rd through the 5th. We'll see what happens. I wish you a great weekend. I'll be with you tomorrow, and I want to thank you for those of you that are tuning into the broadcast and coming along with us. I want to thank you right now. If you if you like what's going on here, share it with people. I guess you do a little thumbs up or you subscribe to the channel or something to that effect. Art, are you there? Did I finally get you back online?
Well, I'm here, whether you can hear me or not.
I hear you now. Yes, sir. Why don't you give some final thoughts to what you were saying? So we're going to get wrapping up here.
Well, what I want to do is pray for this weekend, just as a precaution, since you're not sure exactly what you're getting.
Okay.
Let's all stand the gap and rebuke any evil that's going to sneak in and snare us. That's unreasonable.
It does. We definitely want to stay under the protective hedge. So go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, join with Brother Art. He's an intercessor from Idaho. He's got a track record that's awesome, and he loves God. So let's pray with him if you desire to come alongside, and let's agree for this prayer. Go ahead, Art.
Okay, Lord, as we come before you, we don't know what this thing is supposed to be for this weekend, but we're standing up against any evil that the enemy has brought forth against us. We thank you for the warning that you had put this knowledge upon this pastor so that we would know that it's time to stand the gap and pray now. That's why he said pray without ceasing. We don't just pray when the pandemic hits. We got to pray before. In Ezekiel 22:30, Lord, you suffer one man. So here I'm asking everybody to join with me on that. That there's many of us that are in one accord. Where two or more in one accord, Lord. So you told us not to be concerned about reminding you of your scripture and bringing it forth. So, Lord, we're standing on that. And we're praying a peace, comfort, love, and joy over everybody for this weekend. That whatever was planned as evil will now turn around to be good. We're going to rebuke everybody, all these mass murders for the abortions. And we just plead the blood over them aborted babies, Lord. Those they killed that survived abortion. So we're going to pray for the nation, Lord, under your guise, not under the enemy's control. So we ask, Lord, that you take complete control here over this weekend, that you turn all these things around. We thank you for the opportunity you gave us to reprieve. We apologize for all the evil that has come against that reprieve, Lord. So we're just going to stand on your word. That's our prayer, our petition. We're going to lay it on the altar at your feet. We're going to trust it in your hands, Lord. So we have asked now. Your word said they receive not because they ask not. We have asked. We love and praise you. We thank you, Lord. And we do it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Art. I appreciate it. Praise God. We're going to have to get going right now. For those of you that stood in agreement with Art, praise the Lord. I will leave by telling you this. Back in 2003, I used to walk around all the time, hike mountains, go through parks. I had a shofar. I used to blow shofars all over this, wherever I went. And I was walking through a park one day, and the Lord said to me in 2003, do not pray for this nation. And I saw it, when I heard it, I thought, my God, that's severe. Don't pray for the nation. And because there's other scriptures that say, you know, pray for all men everywhere all the time. But then I found in Jeremiah twice, God said, don't pray for this people. Don't pray for this nation. And then in John chapter 17, Jesus said, I do not pray for the world. And so from that time forward, I had this kind of rule. I can't pray for the nation. You can. I can't pray for this nation for protection and well-being. No, I was told, pray for the saints of God within this nation that they will be able to navigate through the storm that is coming. That's what I heard. So I still cannot pray for America, but I could pray for you, saints. And I pray that whatever it is that will befall this world and this country, right now you see the condition of things. Nobody knows what tomorrow will bring, but I pray for you. And I pray for God's holy grace and God's love and your relationship with him to become so purified and so beautiful and so right that you'll never be the same. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Pastor Vince. Got to go. Right now on Omega Radio. Wait a second. Hey, can you go to your window? Okay. That's from Zane. We're going to let that go. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Shalom. Welcome, Zane. Shalom. Right now, Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.